Good morning. This is Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. On the heels of President Obama's announcement to restore diplomacy with Cuba, University of Rhode Island professor Maureen Moakley took a group of students to Havana to see firsthand the political and social changes 50 years after the Cuban Revolution. She joins us now. Good morning, Maureen. It's nice to have you here outside your role as contributor to our political roundtable.
Good morning, Elizabeth. It's very nice to be here.
So I'm curious, we hear a lot of stories about Havana being a city in decay. So what did you see when you first got off the plane?
Frankly, you do see a beautiful city, but it is in decay. From the airport, which is something out of the 1960s, into, as I say, a beautiful European city. You don't know that you're in the Caribbean. But it is in great disrepair. The roads are in disrepair. The ubiquitous 1950 and 60 cars are the main form of transportation. And the buildings are beautiful. And some of them are being restored. But some of them, frankly, in Havana, two buildings a day simply fall down. So there's a lot of work to be done in terms of restoring the infrastructure.
In what ways has modern technology made it to Cuba, and how are they still using old technology? You mentioned all the old cars you saw.
There hasn't been much advance in terms of technology. We know now that the internet is opening up, and Cubans are beginning to connect with the world because of access to the internet. But that's only fairly recently. So when you think about a country in the Caribbean that hasn't had this kind of global access, it really does make a difference. I mean, it's not unusual to see carts and people riding around with horse-drawn carts. So it's a real mix.
Now, Maureen, you spent some time in Havana, but you and your students also toured the countryside. What was that like?
The countryside is beautiful. The mountains and the whole flora and fauna are beautiful. And what's happened in the Cuban situation is because they were so desperate in terms of money, when the Russians pulled out, they had to turn to organic farming. So now they have these beautiful organic farms, and they're kind of ahead of the curve in the sense that in the Caribbean, that's becoming quite popular and quite productive. So that's a really good thing that's come out of it. But the areas, the beaches, they're simply exquisite.
I have heard from people who've traveled to Cuba that they were shocked by how little access there is to some basic things, like even pencils for school children. Did you see some of that as well?
We did see some of that. In other words, when you go to these little towns, you're asked to bring pads and pencils. The other big thing that we brought, and next year I'm going to bring more of, is baseballs. And, you know, my students were playing baseball, but they were using sticks for bats. So, I mean, the basic care in terms of food, education and healthcare are there, but amenities are very slim.
What is the mood these days in Cuba among the Cubans that you spoke to? Are they happy, frustrated?
They're actually very happy, and they're very optimistic, probably overly optimistic. They talk to us and they say, oh, Obama is going to lift the embargo and we're all going to be rich. Well, that's not going to happen very quickly, and it's a long kind of process. But they're very positive about Americans, and they're very positive about things to come. The interesting thing is the Cuban people have endured a certain amount of deprivation, along with a lot of positive aspects in terms of health care, in terms of education, housing, etc. But they really still basically support the regime. So what they're looking for is change and economic development, but within a model that is more like a European model where there's a lot of redistribution. I mean, they're not looking for straight-up capitalism. And there's a concern, of course, that, you know, we're going to get McDonald's there. And so that's a debate among the elites where they want to promote economic development, but they don't want the Marriott and Coca-Cola and McDonald's coming in and transforming this gorgeous country, and particularly the gorgeous city of Havana.
Maureen, with President Obama announcing that the U.S. will restore full diplomacy with Cuba, are there concerns, other than bringing McDonald's and things like that, are there concerns about how realistic this is for Cuba?
I think it is realistic. Diplomatic relations is one thing. The big problem is lifting the embargo, and that's the big issue that has to be handled by the Congress. But one of the things we noticed is that as the Republicans, interestingly, took over the Senate, Republicans are very much interested in opening up discussions about lifting the embargo. So this is a bipartisan thing. Actually, the person that was holding it up was Bob Menendez, the Democrat from New Jersey, who has a large Cuban constituency. So there is this idea that eventually the embargo will be lifted. And that's a good thing on a number of levels. First of all, it'll promote economic development. It does hurt the Cuban system. Secondly, what's happening is it's very difficult for the Cubans to get medical supplies and things like that. So while they have a wonderful state system of public health, it's fraying because they can't get the kind of equipment and things that they need. And finally, the Cuban government and their economic model has been a failure. And one of the things the embargo does is it masks the failure, because what the Cuban government does is they blame everything on the embargo. There's a quip in Cuba that says if it rains 2 days in a row, it must be the embargo. So it's kind of let the regime off the hook, if you will. And once this embargo is lifted, they're going to have to deal in real terms with real progress and taking care of the needs of Cubans in a much more efficient way.
And Maureen, you mentioned that some Cubans are hoping maybe they'll get rich when more Americans travel to Cuba. But are there concerns about what an influx of tourists could do to the country?
Well, it will kickstart the economy. The problem is that the basic infrastructure can't handle hordes of tourists. So the money that's coming into the system is helpful in creating private enterprise because, you know, eventually tourism will be a private enterprise, hotels and things like that, restaurants. They already are developing that way. But it's got to be a slow process.
And you were traveling with a group of students. So what were their reactions to seeing Cuba?
They were just great. They were thrilled about the idea that they were there, and they noticed that there wasn't any commercial advertising. They really engaged with people on the street. They were staying with Cuban families, and they got to mix and mingle with them. And they got to go on Saturday nights to the square, you know, and dance. They had a dance-off with the Cubans, which they lost. But nonetheless, it was a great experience, not only in terms of talking to diplomats, academics, and policy people, but it was also gave, you know, students are great like that. They go out and they engage with people. And it was a wonderful experience for me because I learned a lot about the people of Cuba through the actions of the students. So it was really a fun thing.
Well, Maureen Moakley, University of Rhode Island political science professor and contributor to Rhode Island Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.